There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome into College Football Live. Matt Schick along with Emmanuel Acho and Trevor Maddich. The college football season is sadly over. The head coaching carousel is finished. So we at College Football Live are very grateful for the transfer portal. Oh, yes. Just 2 days after losing the national championship game, it appears Alabama is about to lose the quarterback who helped take them to the previous two national championship games. Jalen Hurts has entered his name into the NCAA transfer portal, meaning other schools from another dimension are now free to contact him. He went 26-2 as a starter, two national championship game appearances. It appears he is headed elsewhere. Trevor Maddich, start with you. Is Jalen Hurts leaving Alabama the right decision?
I think it is at this point because of what he's done up to this point. By staying this year, I think he has cemented himself as one of the most beloved Alabama quarterbacks of all time. Without him, they probably don't beat Georgia this year in the SEC championship game. And the fact that he stayed to be a good teammate and to help this team get to that particular championship is something that even now that he's transferring, Alabama fans cannot be upset with him.
Yeah, my thing is love does not pay the bills. Is it a great decision? It was a good decision, but it's 365 days too late. Jalen Hurts should have left, should have been gone. I appreciate his selfless actions, as I'm sure all the Tuscaloosa and Alabama fans do. He helped Alabama beat Georgia, got Alabama to a national championship. But the fact of the matter, Maddich, they didn't win the national championship. So looking back, he did Alabama a favor. He did Nick Saban a favor. He did all of the Crimson Tide faithful a favor. But what about Jalen Hurts? It's time for him to look out for himself, his dreams, his aspirations, and get the heck out of there.
But well, I think he also improved his lot going forward by staying. He didn't have a dedicated quarterback coach in his first 2 years there. The offensive coordinator doubled as the quarterback coach. But this year, he had Dan Enos, a certified quarterback whisperer, to coach him. And he became a completely different player by the end of this season. In that Georgia SEC championship game, he made plays with his arm that if it had been Tua, we would have been gushing over the accuracy, over the moxie, over the ability to create, and the ability to hit tight windows on the move. If it were Tua, but it was Jalen. He's better because he stayed.
Yeah, I gotta completely disagree. He didn't show us enough to make it seem that he was better. Great, he made a couple plays in one game against Georgia, and really one half against Georgia. But is he better by playing maybe, I don't know, 120 snaps all year long? I don't have the count in front of me. No, I think he would have been better if he would have went somewhere and played about 1,000 snaps. Get a lot more reps in. Get some more film on tape. He might be a better man. He might be a better human being. He might have learned some more selfless dedications and actions and all that other stuff, all that great lip service. But no, you're better by playing the game. You're better by getting first team reps, not by being out there running scout team and getting some reps whenever Tua gets tired and wants some water.
Well, let me tell you, he's better in that he got his degree. He graduated.
Facts.
And
facts.
So he that and that also means he can play right away, no matter where he goes. So, Manuel, we'll start with you. What's the right landing spot for Jalen Hurts?
And there's only one landing spot, and that is in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yes.
If Jalen Hurts wants to come in, ball out immediately, maybe find his way into Heisman conversations, you go to Norman. You have to be frank. They have two Heisman winners the last 2 years. Both have played quarterback. And in Lincoln Riley's offense, you don't have to be a super proficient passer because guys are screaming down the field wide open because they have freak athletes and guys like CeeDee Lamb, Grant Calcaterra, and Trey Sermon at running back, not to forget Kennedy Brooks. And you can run the ball. Jalen Hurts, go to Norman, go be in the Heisman conversation, and get yours because you've helped Alabama get theirs for the last 3 years.
Well, that's Oklahoma just signed a 5-star freshman quarterback. There'll be competition there, even from that true freshman, especially with how well true freshman from Clemson did, Trevor Lawrence. I'll give you four words. UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Fight, fight, fight.
I like it.
Chip Kelly, I think, could do a lot of things with Jalen Hurts' skill set, especially because he has improved so much as a passer.
I got a pretty talented youngster there as well, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But you mentioned it, Acho. I was with you the whole way on Oklahoma. The last two Heisman winners, for Oklahoma were also transfers as well. So we'll see. I'd hate to be Austin Kendall, though, who's had to sit behind the last two if that were to happen. There is another SEC quarterback who has left for another school. He's already found a home. Justin Fields left Georgia for Ohio State. Fields expected to apply to the NCAA for a hardship waiver, which, if granted, would make him eligible to play for the Buckeyes in 2019. He would compete with Tate Martell for the starting job. No waivers in coaching, just buyouts. Cliff Kingsbury hired as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals 6 weeks after being fired by Texas Tech and 4 weeks after being hired by USC to be its offensive coordinator. He compiled a sub-500 record over 6 seasons with the Red Raiders. And I must emphasize, he was undefeated as the OC at SC. His buyout, only $150,000. Trevor, what does this move tell you about the NFL?
It tells us that the NFL is moving even farther towards the college game. It used to be thought that in the NFL you had to learn everything. You had to know defenses like the back of your hand, like Tom Brady does today. Now they're doing more and more to help quarterbacks coming out of college succeed early in their careers, because so many talented quarterbacks with promise got into the league and took a long time to be even functional. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl running more RPOs than any other offense in the NFL. And I think with the success in Kansas City and other places, it's one of the reasons that I think Arizona is saying, okay, it's time to move into that trend.
Yeah, it's hard for me to speak big picture NFL, but it tells me that the Arizona Cardinals are irrational and did not feel like doing any homework whatsoever.
Wow.
Felt like doing less homework than me in high school, if we're being frank. Sean McVay is who they try to compare Cliff Kingsbury to. Well, as a head coach, Cliff Kingsbury was 35 and 40 in his 6 years at Tech. The previous 6 years at Tech, 48 and 27. You're talking about a 64% winning percentage versus Cliff Kingsbury's 46% winning percentage. Cliff Kingsbury had Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. He went 5 or 6 and 7 when he had Pat Mahomes. So what this tells me, they're looking for a hot name, a flashy hire. But it's more than learning X and O's to be a head coach. It's about leading men. Has Cliff Kingsbury proved he can lead boys maturing into men? No. So has he proved he can lead grown men making millions of dollars? Heck no. So I don't really get this decision. I'm not saying he won't do well. I'm just saying he did not merit nor deserve the hire.
Sean McVay had not been an NFL head coach. Now he's the hot thing over at the Rams. He's probably got coaches on his staff as assistants to him as the head coach who babysitted him when he was a kid. And so you talk about guys deserving to be there. One thing that Cliff Kingsbury could not do at Texas Tech is draft defensive players. He had to recruit them. Well, now he gets to draft them. Now he gets to buy them via free agency. So I think his record at Texas Tech is not nearly as relevant as his mind going into the NFL. Now, you're right about leadership. Because in college players will sit in a room with a coach and say, okay, coach, what do I do? NFL players will sit in that same room and say, all right, coach, what do you got? And it's a different problem for Kingsbury. But I don't mind his record at Texas Tech. I think going forward, it's a different problem.
Again, he is hired to develop and groom Josh Rosen there at Arizona. He's got a track record with quarterbacks, but we'll see how that translates, as you said, to the National Football League. Much more to get to on College Football Live. Sports Center tonight, after Pistons-Lakers with Stan and Neil from L.A., they'll go inside the Rams-Cowboys numbers, plus how the Chargers plan to defend Tom Brady, and full Bucks-Rockets post-game coverage. Up next, Clemson won the national championship thanks in large part to some young Bucks. Should we change the rules to allow these underclassmen to test the NFL waters? We'll wade into that next.
Are you ready? Is you ready?
Ready?
You say you ready?
College Football Live is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
This is going to be a heavyweight matchup.
To be the best, you have to be the best.
May the best team win.
It's intercepted. A.J. Terrell with a pick six. What a play for the Clemson defense.
Tua loads up Jerry Jeudy. He's got it. He's going to go in. Touchdown, Alabama. Right back at you.
We said there were going to be some fireworks. I didn't expect this.
Tigers make a statement as ETN walks in, stretching the lead.
The second pickoff of Tagovailoa. He overthrew his wide receiver by a ton.
It's a shovel pass in the middle. Tigers on fire. And it is a fake. And it's stuffed out. Niles thinks he made the stop.
10. It'll be a touchdown. Justin Ross.
And Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game. And is that another shortcut catch by Ross? Wow. Lawrence with the run. Coming by T. Higgins. Touchdown. That kid cannot be 19 years old.
He looks like he's been there his whole life.
The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
Welcome back to College Football Live. The freshman came through in a big way in the national championship game. Trevor Lawrence threw for nearly 350 yards, three touchdowns, all in the first three quarters. Justin Ross, three grabs, a buck 53, including a 74-yarder. However, the NFL mandates that you must be 3 years out of high school to be eligible for the draft. So these guys have to, get to stay in school for a couple of more years. Emmanuel Acho, is it time for the NFL to change that rule?
They have to change the rule. The rule is garbage. It is trash. It is utterly detestable. We do not care about college kids when we put the NFL combine in the middle of their last semester so they can't graduate unless they want to graduate college in 3.5 years. We don't care about them when we make them play on a short week the day after Thanksgiving. We don't care about them when we don't want to pay them. We just want to give them scholarship checks. But all of a sudden, we care about their mental well-being and their physical maturation by making them stay in college for 3 years. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. You see guys like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Ross, T. Higgins, all clearly capable of playing in the National Football League, but they can't because of a rule. It's time for that rule to change. That rule should have changed a long time ago.
Well, I don't think the NFL particularly cares about what they do in college. It's an NFL rule. I think the NFL does that to protect themselves from liability. They know that there are individuals that could come right out of high school and maybe start to compete, especially at some of the skill positions on the outside that don't require as much physical contact. But they want to make sure that somebody doesn't slip through that then would get injured because he's not physically developed all the way, and then it would open themselves up to lawsuits. Now, having said that, I agree with you, Aj. I think it's more of a free market thing. I think that if a guy's ready to leave after his freshman year of college, sophomore year of college, then if the NFL thinks he's ready, let them make a transaction. If I were the one making the decision, why should I be able to look at a player who thinks he's ready to go to the league and I should say, no, I don't think you're ready to go. I'm the one making your decision. You make your decision. It's not up to me to make it. And I think the NFL would do well to alter the rule.
Let's talk about the fact of there's 100% injury ratio in the NFL. You can go to the league at 19. You can go to the league at 29. You're getting hurt regardless. So I understand, like you said, Trev, maybe they're trying to protect themselves from a lawsuit. They got bigger issues with the concussion settlement as is. So I don't know that they're protecting or helping anybody by saying you can't come to the league until 3 years.
But then why would they make that rule? Why would the NFL make that restriction if it's not to protect themselves? Certainly they don't care about players that are not in the league.
They care about their farm system.
So why would they do that?
To protect their farm system, wouldn't it? And to make sure, just like the NBA still makes you go to school for at least 1 year, they want to make sure that they're making the right decision. Isn't that it, Acho?
That's what I think it's about. I don't know, Trev, if it has as much to do with the NFL as it does the NCAA. Again, these things are above my pay grade, but I really think it's an NCAA issue. Because if you let Trevor Lawrence leave and go straight to the NFL, you want to know who's not making any money next year or as much money next year? Clemson. You want to know who is? By Trevor Lawrence staying? Clemson. So I don't know if it is an NFL issue as much as an NCAA issue. Again, above my pay grade. I just know the issue is garbage.
Hutch, we got to come back and debate paying college players then, because you just opened up a bucket of worms right there.
That'll be an hour-long show in the summer or something. We'll get to that. By the way, Trey Lamar, linebacker for Clemson, Trayvon Mullen, cornerback for Clemson, they've declared for the NFL draft, did that today, because they are juniors and they are eligible to do so. Imagine the impact, though, of guys, freshmen, sophomores, leaving the impact on holding on to players, dynasties, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, certainly don't want that rule to change. They like their best players staying in school. And Trevor, they've been able to recruit a bunch of them two national championships apiece in the last 4 years, records identical. Which coaching style, though, is more effective?
You know, I think outwardly they're different. Saban is very businesslike. Yeah. Dabo's aw shucks and good guy. But when they run their operation, the discipline and the focus are very, very similar. I spent a lot of time at Clemson's complex this summer. And when they talk about family, they're not kidding. They have the coaches, assistant coaches, wives and children at their complex a lot. And there's miniature golf, bowling, golf simulators. There's all kinds of stuff for kids to do. And they interact with the players because Dabo wants his players to know their coaches, not just as coaches, but as husbands and fathers, because it drives that organization together as a family more, and it gives them an example for their life once they leave Clemson and become a man out in the world. And I think that family atmosphere is something that really helps Clemson.
Yeah, for me, a wise man once told me, Will Muschamp, head coach of South Carolina, he said the fun is in winning. It's all fun and games at Alabama when you're 55-4, when you're going and winning national championships. But the second you lose, the second you get trounced by Clemson on a national stage, if I were a player, I would start to question a couple things. Again, I never played for Saban. I never played for Dabo. But on the outside looking in, Saban don't look like he has all that much fun, especially not when he's throwing headsets and cussing out a star quarterback and yelling at defensive players for giving up a touchdown. I don't see how much fun he's having. On the flip side, Dabo, it looks like they winning, they whooping tail, they taking names, and he's smiling the whole time. Again, that's just me. Personally, I think Dabo's style could be more effective, but the fun is in winning. So as long as Saban keeps winning, they're having all the fun in the world.
I agree with you there. One of the tells, I think, about Alabama that may be a little bit different from what people see on the outside, and you're on the inside, so you know this, that there are a lot of Alabama players, former players in the league, now out of the league. They come back. They work out at Alabama. They hang out around that complex because they love to be there. And you're right. If you're winning, then all that discipline, all that process is part of getting you where you want to go. If you're not winning, then you have to be sold that you need to do this because it's not fun if you don't see the results. They see the results at Bama and at Clemson.
Well, think about it, too. You can connect some dots with coaching turnover. Brent Venables, Clemson, that staff stay together. They're having a good time. Six new assistants this year in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if there are dots to connect there, but certainly the culture there at Clemson, it's enjoyable. You got to stay if it's fun. You want to stay, and that's what they're doing there in Death Valley. Their job security, certainly, they're not going anywhere. Same cannot be said for a few assistants. Jim Chaney back in Tennessee for the second time as O coordinator. Chaney just finished his third season as Georgia's offensive coordinator. He'll be Tennessee's fourth different offensive coordinator in as many years. And at Ohio State, Greg Schiano's out as defensive coordinator. Ryan Day hires Greg Madison away from Michigan as co-defensive coordinator. Madison spent the last eight seasons on the Wolverine staff. Madison and Day were both on Urban Meyer's staff at Florida. The Buckeyes also nabbed Al Washington as linebackers coach from Michigan. Michigan and Ohio State finished 1-2 in the Big Ten in the early signing period. It's number one versus number two from South Bend tomorrow night on ESPN. The defending champion Irish hosting All-American Asia Durr and undefeated Louisville in ACC showdown. Do not miss it. That's an order, not a suggestion. Coming up, good quarterbacks coming back to college football next season. Where do their teams rank in the way too early top 10? We'll dissect.
I work hard every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. I work hard every day, yeah, yeah.
I've heard a lot of people talk about I'm waiting for him to have that freshman moment. I don't expect to see it on this grand stage.
And back, Bentley Lawrence flips it open, wide open. Justin Ross, up and running.
As soon as he threw that ball, he felt 300 pounds closing in on him. Didn't affect him at all.
Lawrence with the rush coming. That kid cannot be 19 years old. He looks like a 10-year NFL veteran.
He looks like he's been there his whole life.
Who might be the next impact freshman star? Here are Tom Luganville's notable incoming freshmen, one of which running back Jerrion Ealy. He decommitted from Ole Miss yesterday. He's going to sign on February 6th. He's a two-sport star. I spoke to him last week. He may go the pro baseball route. So we'll wait and see on that. Back here at College Football Live, Matt Schick, Emmanuel Acho, and Trevor Maddich. It is never too early to talk college football 2019, as evidenced by the never too early top 10, or way too early, I should say. Mark Schlabaugh, 1 through 10. He's got Clemson and Alabama going out on that very shaky limb. Georgia, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. You see the rest of the top 10, Trevor. Anyone too high, too low, you see?
Yeah, everything here is a leap of faith. Ohio State, I need to see more on defense. Even when they started to come together and their big rivalry win over Michigan, they gave up 39 points at home to the Wolverines. So now they've got a new defensive staff at the top in terms of coordinator. I need to see more from that unit before I put them at number four.
I'm with you on that, Trev. I think the list is fairly accurate. I like where they have Florida placed. I like where they have Texas placed. Georgia, I understand that, returning their quarterback, returning some of their running backs, and that line unit. The list, like you said, it's all projection. It's just time to see what happens when the pads pop again in a couple months.
Sad that we have to wait so far. Hey, one of those teams, someone asked me, who's your top four for next year? And I'm on the fence about Texas there. Mm-hmm. I know they're losing some guys there, Manuel. I know they're your team, but I'll say it. I think they're a college football playoff contender next year. You buying?
I'm buying it. Texas, I understand why they got, why they put them in the top four. First and foremost, they just came off a convincing and dominant win over the third best team, which is Georgia. Beyond that, you're returning your quarterback. Football, you live and die by the quarterback. We saw that in the national championship game. And you're also returning your 6'5 all-star receiver in Colin Johnson. I understand why Texas would be a top 10, top 5 team. Defensively, there are some holes they have to figure out. But if you return a quarterback, you're in good hands.
I think there's some risk, though, for the top two, because they return much of their offenses. They'll be even better next year than they were this year. But I think the defenses have to completely rebuild their defensive lines, both Clemson and Alabama. And their success at doing that will go a long ways toward determining if they get back to the playoff.
By the way, Alabama and Clemson scheduled to meet in a neutral site game in January in New Orleans next year. Team you did not mention, Colorado State. They had their first losing season since 2012, and their head coach, Mike Bobo, says, I am not going to take the $100,000 raise I was due this year, 1.8 mil to 1.9. He's going to stay at 1.8, got his contract amended in conversations with his AD, Emmanuel Acho. You like that? He said, I'm going to hold myself accountable, send a message to the team that we're all accountable here. You like foregoing the six-figure deal?
Man, I ain't never heard of turning down money a day in my life. Look, I walk into Chipotle one day. I'm about to order some extra guac. They're like, you know what? It's on us. Imagine me turning that down. Free guac? And he wants to turn down a free $100,000? Madness. Madness, I tell you.
So I got to ask you, though. Are you more happy with $1.9 million a year than you would be with $1.8 really?
It's $100,000, Mattis. That's Christmas money. That's Christmas gift money. I ain't get good gifts this year, okay?
I so can't relate to any of that.
I'd rather have $100,000 than zero, but yeah, $1.8 to $1.9, yeah, well, six and one half. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow.